Larry Bensky talked about...
your name
Michael,
first?
My name is Michael Lubin. I serve on the local station board. Larry Bensky talked about micromanaging. I've been on the station board since its inception in February. I would like to hear anyone name a single motion passed by the station board that comes even close to micromanaging. The problem on our station board is that we have not even fulfilled our normal functions. We have partially done so. We have made some good progress, but we have not done nearly what we should or could have done. And the reason is not that most people on the station board do not want to get work done. It's because there exists a large minority of the station board that have deliberately obstructed our work and done everything they could to keep us from getting anything done, so that the handful of people that have been running the station for years could continue to do so without obstruction. And today, three of them are running under the so-called KPFA Forward group for re-election. And Viva Antin was expelled from the general manager hiring committee. I served on that committee. I served on that committee.
1 minute.
She was expelled for reasons as fictitious as both of Bush's elections, and I resigned in protest. And it was the biggest mistake I ever made on the board, because I should have stayed to combat what was being done. This is no reflection on Roy. I'm very pleased with him, and I hope he'll be a great general manager. But the process by which we hired a general manager was very horribly corrupted, and it was... there was a dishonest coup that occurred within the hiring committee that few people know much about. Unfortunately, I don't have time to give you the details. But people should know that this happened.
Okay, my name is Sasha Lilly. I produce the program Against the Grain. Thanks. And I also have worked for a number of years with Free Speech Radio News. I want to speak to a couple of things in the very short amount of time I have. One is that, just quickly, I want to say that the station I work at is not the station that's been described tonight. I don't know where the NPR people who've been brought in, certainly not me. I work at a public affairs department. We heard tonight that it doesn't exist. We meet once a week, and there's a lot that's not being mentioned here. But I want to talk about the future of KPFA just really, really briefly. Change needs to happen at the station, certainly. We need renewal. We need quality improvement. We need to stop preaching to the converted. You know, we reach millions of people with our signal, and yet we only have several 100,000, maybe 200,000 listeners. We could reach millions. We need to think differently. It's kind of amazing if you just look around you here, what about the future of KPFA? Can we all think about that here? I mean, I hate to say it, but I'm in a real minority here, age-wise, and that's a real issue, too. The thing I want, and I've been called an ageist for saying that, but... that's just a fact, and people are going to need to deal with it. Very quickly, I'll just finish on saying that there's a dynamic that's going on at KPFA, which is one which has been endemic to the left, and I'm very concerned about it, and I hope people think about it for a moment. Whenever we have social struggles and we achieve victories, whether it's a social struggle, social revolution, the next thing that happens on the left generally is that we turn and point our guns at each other. It happens over and over again, and I'm really afraid this is happening now. We need change. We need renewal. Do we need
time
to go down the road of purges? That's another story.
Thanks. Thank you.
I'm Mary Berg. I'm one of the people that was mentioned tonight, but I didn't recognize myself. I've been an unpaid person since the early 80s, and I'm afraid of the paid staff, I'm told. I've never known that I was, all the while I was fighting against Pat Scott and before that David Salniker, and all the times that I came out and all the organizational meetings we had and the stacks of documents that are still sitting in Dan Siegel's office. I don't know. But three people here tonight tell me that I'm part of this problem, and there are only a few of us. I don't recognize the station when I hear it described as under the iron fist of entrenched staffers who have been there since, it isn't said how long. When I go in the station, I see what Susan talked about, I see four generations in all colors, in all sizes. Some are 5 and 6 years old, and they're growing up, they're learning to be at a microphone. I see people in their 70s. I see everyone in between. I hear all different languages. I see people excited working together in collectives, such as Susan described, in all the corners of the station, 24/7. I didn't see this in 99. Pat Scott, when they had a Christmas party, none of these people came. No children came. The person who changed all this, and some who say there isn't change, I don't know. Maybe they come in with blindfolds and earplugs. I just don't know. That change is huge. The person who brought that change was the NPR person that was hired by Pat Scott. That's Nicole Sawaya. She had spent the previous years with NPR. So I don't know of any other NPR people in the station, and someone said they wouldn't name names. I forget who said that, but I wish we had heard the names, because I'd like to know who they are besides me, because as I say, I don't even see how I'm there. The people in the station now who do the work, do the management, and do everything is the crop of the young people from the apprenticeship program, where all of y'all wanted to hire them and said, what a shame we didn't keep our apprentices. If the payroll
Time.
Has gone to twice as much, a lot of it's going to pay for them, because they can't be here for free. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Richard Phelps. I'm a candidate for the local station board. I have some radio experience in the background, and in the past I've done a few programs at KPFA, so I think I can integrate radio and politics together. But that's really not the issue tonight. What I want to talk about is something different. First, I want to make just one quick statement. I've known Larry Bensky for 30 years, off and on. My wife used to work at the station back in 74. Some of you know her as Rose Panico. We've been married since 1977. I just want people to understand and be clear about the facts. Larry Bensky did challenge Joseph Anderson to go outside and fight. Okay, that's the reality. So if you want to shake your head no, that's who started it. Now, on to some other facts. Folks, I don't know for sure what I'm going to say, if there's a conspiracy or not. I'm not really a conspiracy buff. I get in some arguments with some of the people. I'm more of a factual person. I was a scientist before I became a lawyer. But I've got a paper here that lays out 8 or 9 points. What I think show that there's some attempt to suppress voting at KPFA and Pacifica. The National Election Supervisor didn't hire this man right here to run the local elections. I worked with him last year in the election. He's great. He's ethical. Les Radke. And the National Election Supervisor, right in midstream, decided he wasn't going to send you candidate statements. That would create two classes of voters, because those people that don't have computers and those people that don't like to use computers would have not gotten the statements of all the people. And, you know, didn't we get rid of two classes of voters back in 1964 with the Civil Rights Act? I thought we did. I started a big brouhaha about that. Several other people joined in, and we got them to change that. Now, other things have happened since then. They decided, gee, we don't need to send this first class. Third class will be fine. Well, that's why none of you have any ballots. Okay? They got mailed out a week ago, but you know how long it takes third class? Maybe never. So you got to check on the website, go to the election page. There's a phone number there. And if you don't get your ballot by Friday, call it. They're supposed to send you one first class, which will double the cost now, because they'll have to send them out first class. I have a paper here. You can have one on the way out. I listed all the facts. I'm not laying out anything except facts. But Sasha Lilly came out with a very strong indictment against democracy. First line of her paper was, the bylaws are a disaster. Then she went into talking about how
Time.
It's too expensive. So, anyway, you can read this if you want.
I'm going to ask one thing here, and just with all due respect, keep your comments. I'm personally uncomfortable as the moderator is having people be personally targeted. I'm really, really uncomfortable with that. And this isn't the place for it. This isn't the place for it. Our intention is not to continuously repolarize, all right? Our intention is to try to depolarize. You got personal comments? I'm sorry. In a way, you know, I agree with Binsky. Take it outside. Don't punch each other, but take it outside, okay? Next up. No.
I don't think I have anybody to personally attack, but I do believe that sometimes you do have to name names, and I totally support those who did choose to do so. Oh, I'm Aaron Ahrens. I am a candidate for local station board. My fundamental premise in life is that the main thing to do right now is to do everything you can to defeat and destroy United States imperialism. That is what that is the focus of my campaign, and if I get on the board, I will do everything I can to make sure that radical anti-imperialist programming gets more of a voice, and that we don't have something called a news department sounding like a slightly left version of NPR. I do not want to stop liberal types like the people who do the news from having ability to talk on the station. That's not what I mean. But they should not be representing the station as the news, which is on not only an hour a day every weekday and all the headlines all the time, but basically it monopolizes so much time. Robert Knight does a better job with the news in his like 5 minutes four times a week than the news department does with their how many hours a week?
1 minute.
Okay. And so anyway, again, I want to repeat, wanting to have more radical voices and more radical analysis does not mean that I don't want liberals, left, you know, even the people who still play footsie with the Democratic Party to have a voice. It's just we have to be clear that we need to really expose and oppose the system, the ruling class. And I would like, by the way, I will ask a question. I would like Bill to talk about the problem of the people purged in 1995 and what we can do to get as many of them as possible back on the air. And I believe most of them were unpaid staff, and they would not cost us any more money, thankfully. So what can we do about getting them back on?
Okay, Bill, you have 2 minutes to go ahead and respond to that question.
Okay. As far as I know at this station, unless I'm mistaken, at this station at this point, the two specific cases that are unresolved are Mariah's and mine.
And Nicole.
In Mariah's case, the matter is, I think, quite simple. She was physically barred from entering the stations based on a totally false accusation. She was able to present a video of what actually happened to the San Francisco Bay Guardian. Its editors looked at it, and they came out on her side editorially. In my case, the people who became the pirates of 1995 and later wanted my scalp after 1992. In 1992, they put out a strategy for national broadcasting, which indicated a total ignorance of the West Coast. Among other things, for example, you got the impression that Berkeley and Oakland were suburbs. The fact that the first black Congress member elected from a majority white district from Berkeley had never occurred to them. Many similar things. I attacked this in a program, and nobody dared take me off there in 1992 simply because my standing was too high. This talk was published in the Folio, and Blankfort got it into the Anderson Valley Advertiser. But by 19, since my subject basically was about the Soviet Union, in actual fact, it was about everything on Earth, because the Cold War was fought on all these grounds. In 1995, they felt it was time to do this, and some people in this room who've spoken rather loudly did not see fit to support me when I was taken off the air. Pardon me?
2 minutes. Next up.
Yeah, I'm Carl Stedden, a long-time listener to KPFA, well, almost from the beginning. And what I'm going to say, I have a couple notes I took. One is the airways belong to the public. That's you and I, all the airways that carry all the sound waves. And we've given them away. We've let them take them away. they've been gradually taken over by fewer and fewer media giants, mostly from the right wing, and we've let it happen. We've struggled a little bit with FCC, but we've just barely started that job. Then along came Lou Hill. I had never heard of FM, and someone talked me into buying a radio, a new radio called frequency modulation. That was kind of a strange thing, but I got one. And the left of center got their toehold into the medium, a little bit of the airwaves. And KPFA and Pacifica have grown considerably from the beginning, but it's still a small fraction of the airwaves.
One minute.
People are going to be listening to the right of center. We on the left, listeners and people who participate in broadcasting news, should have at least 50% of the airwaves, no less than that. In other words, and people here at Pacifica and KPFA should not be fighting each other. We should be going after more of the airwaves, so the more the people who want to share their ideas or the music on the airwaves, we should demand. And I mean, I've done CD 175 times, and I would love to do it again and again and say we're going to take back the airwaves and demand it if we have to broadcast illegally. Just a week ago, I had a transmitter on my deck that Stephen Dunifer put up to test out MicroPower TV. We got all
time.
Sorts of things we could do, so I hope we can do it.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Deirdre Elmensumi, and I just wanted to, I'm a listener and an observer here tonight. I just wanted to make a comment to you personally, Susan, that I love your voice. I think you have a beautiful voice. There's kindness in it, and yet nobody on the panel spoke for one thing, you pleaded for cooperation, and yet you spoke with really damning assumptions about those who had opposing views to you. And as someone who really values KPFA and Pacifica as a resource, I just want to ask you to please examine some of those assumptions, and because I don't think there's any possibility that KPFA and that this is going to be depolarized and that we can move forward without you examining some of those assumptions. For example, let's see.
1 minute.
Okay. And I just have to acknowledge too that you said that you didn't want to lose any more staff, and I just have to acknowledge in that statement I just couldn't help feeling the grief of losing Barbara and Bill Mandel and all the volunteers that we lost in the purges. So I mean, I think I would love to see some reparations be done. One other thing is Larry Bensky's statement about how long he has been here left me with an example of the one of the problems that these longtime staffers who feel so entitled and who are not willing to share their power and who, anyway, this is to everybody. So anyway, it's such a problem, and we saw a perfect example of it here. And his statement about regarding the lab wanting to control the station is such a grave misunderstanding and accusation. When all we really want is for the local advisory board, who we elect and who represents us,
time
to have inclusion. Thank you.
Seconds to make an announcement about sign-up lists.
30 seconds, counting.
There's a sign-up list for everybody because we don't want this to be Castle Sands washed away. A sign-up list for future meetings, as well as lists over here for all of the committees that have been operating. They're right on the table here. Please, this can't be one meeting and going home if we're going to deal with these kinds of issues.
Thank you so much. Okay, now we're at 9:13 right now. We're at 9 o'clock and 13 minutes. Now, what's going to happen right now is that the panel is going to have a one-minute follow-up, just a one-minute statement that they can go ahead and make. I am going to ask that we want to, you know, our temptation right now is to start debating with what people have said, and that's not going to happen tonight, so I'm just going to let you know that now. So they're going to get 1 minute, and we're going to sew it up, and then we're just going to just have one big love fest and bid everyone adieu. Bill.
I believe that the National Executive Director should issue an apology to Mariah and simply officially cancel the banning, even though people today don't know about it. Secondly, as far as I'm concerned, since I was kicked out because of the gag rule, which allegedly no longer exists, I should be reinstated. And the program I want to do is simply called Thinking Out Loud with Bill Mandel, because that was the portion of my program that you liked best.
As far as I know, the last public affairs director at KPFA was Philip Maldari. He dissolved the department by taking his salary into the morning show. People who were left behind were Churi Varela, Don Foster, people of color, who were previous directors. When I talk about NPR, I don't mean NPR directly trained. I mean hires from the many NPR stations. And as far as I remember, the last four program directors came from NPR stations and other staff as well. I want to also sort of thank you, Bill, for lobbying for me, but I have never done that for myself, and I'm not doing it at this point. I was at a reunion of banned people in Los Angeles, East Los Angeles once, and I was the only white person there. Everybody there at KPFK was black, and many of the banned and fired people, 165, were people of color, too. Those are the people who really, in some ways, represented the community around here, and they have disappeared.
Time.
I want them back rather than, you know, a place for me.
We're all working on our responses here. I just want to say my discussion of people leaving over and over are the young. We can't keep them when it's this bad. It's not about maintaining the entrenched. It's about keeping the young. I think the most unifying thing we can do is to develop a program so that we do not let our fortunes rise and fall on Amy Goodman and Democracy Now! For the rest of our lives. She's amazing. She's our crown jewel. But we must prepare for the fact that we may not have her forever. And I would like to see us do something very unifying, which is to develop a program that KPFA can anchor. And it would develop time and resources towards bringing in extraordinary commentaries and segments that take the place of that show when it moves. Because we have listeners who will be devastated when Amy moves, and we need to give them something so that they feel honored and respected, because that will be a large hole when Amy moves. All right? So let's create something together that's brilliant and local, that goes national and international, with resources and bright lights and bright minds. We can do that. Let's focus
time
there.
Thank you so much, Susan. Yes, I apologize for not timing my little talk properly, because I kind of, you know, when the time was up, it was up. So I just want to finish by saying this, and that is we talked about problems, but there are solutions. And I would like to refer you to, we have a letter on that table for those of you who would like to read it. And also I want you to know that I am a part of an alliance of people that are running in this current election, and we'd like you to go on and check out www.peoplesradio.net, and there's information there for you. Please exercise your franchise. Thank you.
Hi. I believe we're all here to problem solve. I don't think it helps to whitewash problems. It feels like the two staff who spoke in the public comment were on some level whitewashing the problems. I don't think we move ahead. We have strengths, we have weaknesses. That's how we move ahead. When I came onto the LSB, I had heard that many staff were too intimidated to speak out. That's the truth. I've seen it. And I've asked people, who are these people? And it's unacceptable to me that I'm chair of a board of an organization that has people, both paid and unpaid, who are afraid to speak out, and it's a free speech radio. It's unacceptable to me. We need to know why people are intimidated and for what. However, the staff is not monolithic, and it's a misnomer to say the staff. They are not monolithic. The Robbie Osmond letter that's been referred to, 38, it was more names than we thought, because we thought those 38 people would be intimidated.
Time.
They signed it.
I'm one of those people who was very much grieved when Bill Mandel's voice left KPFA. I thought KPFA gave up one of the most brilliant minds that I was experienced with. And every program that I listened to of Bill's was one where I learned a lot of new information that I could not have learned before, and ways to think about that information. So I would like very much if some way could be found that lost voices could be brought back to KPFA, so that people who've never had the opportunity to hear Bill could hear him, as well as other people whose voices were lost. So maybe there's some way to work that into the process. But I would like that this station begin to pull together and just declare a week of moratorium where no negative things will be said about anything.
Thank you so much. I want to thank all of you for coming all the way out here to be a part of this. I also want to thank our panelists, Bill Mandel, Mariah Carey, I'm sorry. I know Gil Arden, I'm sorry. It's just all, Gerald Sanders and Reba Antin, and, of course, James E. Van. Thank you so much for being here. Susan Stone, I'm sorry, Susan, sorry. Thank you so much for being here, and thank you for making this a functional process. I appreciate it.